I truly appreciate the privilege of being here this morning. And I need the Lord's help very much. So do we all. I've had a very serious thought on my mind. I'd like to read in Galatians chapter 6. There is a law that cannot be changed. It's found in Galatians 6 and 7. It says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." An unchangeable law. It applies to everyone that has been in this world, that we will reap what we sow. I'd like to change over to Numbers chapter 32. Moses and the tribes of Israel were before the point of crossing the Jordan. And the tribes of Reuben and Gad came to Moses and to the elders and said, "We want this land for us and for our cattle. Don't make us go over the Jordan." Let us read in Numbers 32 and verse 6. "Moses said unto the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, Shall your brethren go to war, and ye sit here? And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them?" Moses went on to tell them about how their fathers had been sent as spies into the land of Canaan. 12 spies sent out, and 10 of the 12 came back with discouraging reports. Chapter 14 of Numbers, and verse 1. The spies had come back with discouraging reports. And it says in Numbers 14 and 1, "All the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, Let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt." So Moses reminded them of that time, and that the Lord's anger was kindled against the children of Israel. Let's switch back to Numbers chapter 32 and verse 13. "The Lord's anger was kindled against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years until all the generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was consumed. And behold, ye are risen up in your father's stead, an increase of sinful men, to augment yet the fierce anger of the Lord toward Israel. For if ye turn away from after him, he will yet leave them all in the wilderness, and ye shall destroy all this people." In other words, if you forsake your brethren as they cross the Jordan, then the Lord will abandon them there, and you will be destroying all of this people. Verse 16, "And they came near unto him and said, We will build sheepfolds here for our cattle, and cities for our little ones, but we ourselves will go ready armed before the children of Israel until we have brought them unto their place. And our little ones shall dwell in the fenced cities because of the inhabitants of the land. We will not return unto our houses until the children of Israel have inherited every man his inheritance." Verse 20, "And Moses said unto them, If ye will do this thing, if ye will go armed before the Lord to war, and will go all of you armed over Jordan before the Lord, until he hath driven out his enemies before him, and the land be subdued before the Lord, then afterward ye shall return and be guiltless before the Lord and before Israel. And this land shall be your possession before the Lord. You made a promise, and you promised the right thing. You promised to help your brethren conquer their land. Now, be sure that you keep your promise. You promised the right thing. Be sure you keep your promise. Because if you do not, verse 23, if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Your sin will find you out. Why is that? It's because there is someone who is keeping a record.
Yeah.
Proverbs 15 and 3 says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good.
Yeah.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
The worldly churches have taken up a message that really your sin is not going to find you out. You're going to be all right in your sin. You'll still be able to make it to heaven. That's what the devil wants us to believe. That we can sin and get by. But I believe the words that Moses spoke thousands of years ago are still true today.
Yes.
Your sin will find you out. I remember as a little boy learning this song. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. There's a Father up above, looking down in tender love. So be careful, little hands, what you do. And it had more verses to it. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. There's a Father up above, looking down in tender love. So be careful, little feet, where you go. And I think maybe one about your tongue. Being careful, little tongue, what you say. Why? Because there's someone that's keeping a record. Because your sin will find you out. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh.
Yes.
A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. It seems that there is a lot of carelessness with words these days.
Yeah.
There's a lot of talk out on the media. A talk out in personal conversations. And people are so careless with the words that they use.
Yeah.
With the way that they use the name of God, with the damage that is done. Jesus said, by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Now, the Greek word for idle word corresponds to a Hebrew word. And that Hebrew word means not only vain or empty, but also wicked and injurious, such as a false testimony against a neighbor. Did you know someone's keeping a record? Did you know that someone is listening to every word that we say? In private, in our hearts, every word that we say, someone is listening. I find it interesting that in a day when evil is so accessible to us, that the ability to uncover sin has also increased. Isn't that interesting? The technology to discover who the criminals are has increased. People can spy on you. I heard from my daughter, I saw you just went this speed on this little trip you took. People can check up on us. Well, there's someone who's keeping track of everything. And we need to keep in our minds that our sin will find us out. James chapter 3 and verse 8. James chapter 3 and verse 8 speaks of the tongue. The tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. This verse challenges me. You know, it's real easy to curse people, especially when we're frustrated at people. But God cares how we treat other people.
Yes.
The ones that are made in His similitude, the ones that He loved, that He gave the breath of life to, God help me not to curse them. And I'm not saying just saying curse words. But to despise, to ridicule, to treat them as less than human.
Yes.
This is a challenge to me. Your sin will find you out. There's a Father up above, looking down in tender love. Be careful. Hands, what you do. Feet, where you go. Eyes, where you're looking. Be careful. Because there's a Father up there. And He's watching you. And even though you may erase your browser history, even though you may delete things off your phone, there's someone that knows. And Moses' words are still true today. Your sin will find you out. Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21 and verse 6, He said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. In Sunday school, we heard about one that had great authority. The one that could close doors that nobody could open. One that could open doors that nobody could then close. This is Him, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He said, I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. All murderers that get caught are going to have their part in the lake of fire. Is that what it says? It says all murderers, doesn't it? Because there is a Father up above that's looking down, and He sees every unsolved crime. He sees every income tax cheater. He knows about the hidden bank accounts. He knows about what people are doing in the secret of night.
Yes.
Your sin will find you out. People are living as if it's not going to happen. They're going to get away with their sin over and over. Billy the Kid was born in 1859. He was an American Old West outlaw and a gunfighter who killed 8 men before he was shot and killed. He took part in New Mexico's Lincoln County War, during which he allegedly took part in 3 murders, including the murders of Lincoln County Sheriff William J. Brady and one of his deputies. Billy was orphaned at age 13. His first arrest was for stealing food at age 16 in late 1875. 10 days later, he robbed a Chinese laundry and was arrested, but he escaped only 2 days later. He tried to stay with his stepfather and then fled from New Mexico Territory into neighboring Arizona Territory, making him both an outlaw and a federal fugitive. After murdering a blacksmith during an altercation in August of 1877, Billy became a wanted man in Arizona Territory. Wait a minute. Billy was only about 18 years old. Shouldn't we say Billy became a wanted teenager? Isn't that sad? What a life. What a way to start out life. At 18, you should be having fun and enjoying life, shouldn't you? This man was a murderer, this boy. Billy became a wanted man in Arizona Territory and returned to New Mexico, where he joined a group of cattle rustlers. He became a well-known figure in the region when he joined a group of men and took part in the Lincoln County War. In April of 1878, the group Billy joined killed 3 men. Billy and 2 others were later charged with killing all 3 men. Billy's notoriety grew in December of 1880 when newspapers around the country carried stories about his crimes. Sheriff Pat Garrett captured Billy later that month. In April of 1881, Billy was tried and convicted for one of the murders and was sentenced to hang in May of that year. But Billy escaped from jail. I want to say, be sure your sin will find you out. Now, Billy kept escaping. It seemed like somehow Billy was getting away with his crimes. He escaped from jail on April 28, 1881, killing 2 sheriff's deputies in the process and evading capture for more than 2 months. Now, can you imagine Billy walking into a saloon in a western town and sitting down there and bragging about escaping from jail and killing 2 sheriff's deputies? I can imagine that, can't you? Imagine he was the hero of the story, and he had those men just in awe of his capabilities as a gunfighter and a criminal. But your sin will find you out. Lawman Garrett shot and killed Billy in Fort Sumner on July 14th of 1881. According to one version, Billy entered a dark room about midnight, and he failed to recognize Garrett due to poor lighting. Drawing his revolver and backing away, Billy asked, quién es, in Spanish, who is it, who is it? Recognizing Billy's voice, Garrett drew his revolver and fired twice. Billy was 21 years old. Your sin will find you out. Sometimes people are hoping that their sin won't be found out. So they work hard to cover their sin. You remember the story of Achan and the stolen Babylonian garment and maybe some silver or gold or something he hid in his tent. But his sin was found out and he was stoned to death. Hiding sins. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 20. Such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eateth and wipeth her mouth and saith, I have done no wickedness. Wiping away the evidence, clearing the browser history, lying about where you have been or what you have done. She wipeth her mouth and saith, I have done no wickedness. But there's a Father up above looking down in tender love. Oh, be careful, little thief, where you go.
Yes.
Psalms chapter 90. Prayer of Moses. Psalms chapter 90 and verse 8. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. Our secret sins are revealed by the light of God. He knows everything that we do, every intent of the heart, all wrongs that have not been made right. God knows. 1 Timothy chapter 5. First Timothy 5 and 24 says, some men's are open beforehand, going before the judge to judgment. And some men they follow after. I'm not positive what this means, but I'll tell you what it means to me. Some men's sins are confessed ahead of time. They're brought before the judgment of God before the great judgment day. Due to confession, I'll admit I did that, Lord. But other men don't confess their sins. Other men hide their sins. But be sure your sins will find you out. Because hidden sins stay with a person and defile that person all the way until it says in Hebrews, what is it, 9:27?
And that is the point that the man
wants to die.
But after this, judgment.
Yes. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. And then all those hidden sins will be there on display. I remember as a young man, I knew I had to make something right. And I was so ashamed. I struggled to make my restitution. I comforted myself with this scripture. To realize it's a privilege to get these things taken care of in this life. Rather than have that follow me to the judgment. I thought about unsolved crimes and it has troubled me. Murders that go unsolved. Has that ever bothered you? We lived in a place where it seemed murder was rampant and the unsolved murders, so many were unsolved. But there's coming a day that those sins are going to find those people out. The thefts. There have been people that have robbed. There was a man that robbed a bank in Canada. He was a bank teller or somebody. And went on for decades living a lavish lifestyle. But his sins will find him out. There was a man that was involved in a train robbery in Great Britain. It was well known. And he lived for many years on the run. Decades. How can you do it? How can you go decade after decade and that guilt be there? Is it because people don't believe their sins are really going to find them out? Is it because they think somehow there is no judgment, there is no God? That the day is coming. That every bank robber, every murderer, every rapist, every hateful person, every thief will give an account to God for their sins. Acts 3 and 21. I hope this gives us a sense of carefulness in our lives. Acts 3 and 21 speaks of Jesus. It says, whom the heaven must receive until the time of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. There is a time of restitution of all things. And again, I'm not positive what that means. But to me, it means there's a time when all accounts are going to be settled. There is a time that every unsolved crime is going to be exposed and every criminal will be there before the great God Almighty to give an account of the deeds done in the body, whether they be good or evil. Every adulteress, every adulterer, every fornicator is going to stand before God guilty. People aren't going to be able to wipe their mouth on that day and say, I've done no evil.
That's right.
People are proud of their sins today. They have pride parades in Oklahoma City. Shame on us for tolerating that kind of sin.
Amen.
An abomination before God.
Amen.
People are proud of rebelling against God. But be assured their sins will find them out. I'm so thankful that we can clear the record, aren't you?
Yes. Amen.
That we can have it all washed away.
Yes.
Some of the most beautiful scripture to me is a list that Paul gave of sinners. And he listed an ugly list of all these sins that folks have committed. And he said, such were some of you, but now ye are washed. Ye are sanctified. Oh, what a beautiful picture. That we can have all of that record taken away. Psalms 119 and 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Did you know that Billy the Kid could have cleansed his way? He could have turned his life around. He could have been an upstanding man in society, a man of respect. Is there a way that I can clean my ways? Yes, there is. By taking heed to the Word of God. I was visiting with my parents yesterday, and they've been reading a book about Libya, where we once lived. And they really connected with the book. It brought back memories. The authors were there at the same time we were. And told me an incident in the book about a young man, apparently an American, who got in a fight. The Americans and the Libyans fighting some boys. The American boy took a glass bottle and broke it and stabbed the Libyan, and he died. They got that American boy out of the country. But he may have escaped justice for a while. But be assured, his sins will find him out. People need to go and make restitution. They need to confess sins. They need to go and make things right. You don't just hide the corpse or stuff things in the closet or erase the browser. There's some confession and repentance to do.
Yes, amen.
Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed according to his word. The scripture says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh shall find mercy, shall have mercy. There was a time on earth when in the book of heaven an old account was standing for sins yet unforgiven.
Yeah.
My name was at the top and many things below. I went unto the keeper and settled long ago. Long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago. And the record's clear today, for he washed my sins away when the old account was settled long ago. In Psalms 103 and 12, it says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Is your account settled today? Is there something new on the list that needs to be confessed? That needs to be uncovered? Jesus said, whatsoever is spoken in the ear, in the closet, shall be proclaimed on the housetops. Something about whatever's done in darkness will be revealed in light. Your sins will find you out. The old account was large and growing every day. For I was always sinning and never tried to pay. But when I looked ahead and saw such pain and woe, I said that I would settle, and settled long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago, and the record's clear today, for he washed my sins away when the old account was settled long ago. Oh, I'm so glad there is mercy. There is a clearing of the record. There is a second chance. But it's going to take something on our part. It's going to take some confession. It's going to take some willingness to clean things up, to give things up, to confess. God, help us today to be ready. All of us.